War news, exclusive news, and predictions of things to come by Drew Pearson and Robert S. Allen, whose widely quoted column, Washington Merry-Go-Round, appears in more than 600 newspapers from coast to coast. These internationally famous reporters are presented by Seratan every Sunday at this same time. The responsibilities of diplomatic, political, and business leadership, like all the other great responsibilities of life, almost always fall to men and women over 35. For the years bring the needed experience and knowledge. But to shoulder these important tasks, you have a big responsibility to yourself. That of guarding your fitness, your good cheer and alertness. And if common sluggishness robs you of these things, this may be the answer. You may now need something different from your present laxative. Something like that marvelous all-vegetable preparation called Seratan, which is especially recommended for people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. You see, unlike most laxatives, Seratan provides the special kind of help which so many doctors advise for folks your age. Yes, it's wonderfully effective, yet exceptionally mild and gentle. But why not let your own experience tell you that Seratan is just the thing you've been looking for? Try it. Compare it. And if you don't prefer it to everything else, you'll get your money back. So friends, tonight or tomorrow, ask your druggist for Seratan. When you read that name backwards, it spells Nature's. And now we take you direct to Washington, the nation's capital.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Drew Pearson.
And this is Bob Allen.
As we go on the air tonight, President Roosevelt and the cabinet face the most momentous day in American history since Woodrow Wilson declared war on Germany on April 6, 1917. The United States has been attacked by Japan.
The capital is seething with excitement. President Roosevelt has been in almost constant session with the secretaries of the War and Navy.
Secretary Hall has been in session with the Japanese envoys who are reported to be asking for their passports.
News of the Japanese attack reached the president at 2:25 p.m., 7:35 this morning, Hawaiian time. A fleet of Japanese airplanes appeared over Pearl Harbor, Hickman Field, the Army Air Base, and the city of Honolulu. They came from at least one airplane carrier off the coast of Hawaii. Since Japanese carriers carry only 47 planes, Navy intelligence believes that there must have been at least several plane carriers. The U.S. Navy is now reported in a sea battle with the Japanese carriers.
Anti-aircraft guns immediately the answer to the Japanese attack, and the sky over Honolulu has been black with American fighter planes. Meanwhile, Hawaiian police have been rushed into action, presumably to prevent an uprising by the Japanese civilian population.
Three American battleships were hit, and the battleship West Virginia was reported sunk. Also, the battleship Oklahoma has been set on fire. The rest of the fleet has steamed out of Pearl Harbor.
One Japanese bomb striking the Army Air Base at Hickman Field killed 350 American troops in one shot.
London. The Japanese also have bombed British bases in the Pacific.
Tokyo. Imperial headquarters officially announced a state of war with the United States.
The White House has canceled all press credentials of German and Japanese newspaper men, effective immediately.
White House. President Roosevelt was advised a few minutes before 6 o'clock tonight by Governor Poindexter of Hawaii that a second wave of airplanes was just coming over Honolulu. The president received this word during a telephone conversation with the governor, who had informed him that there had been heavy loss of life and extensive damage already to property in the city.
The White House Secretary Steve Early simultaneously announced that the War and Navy departments have been unable to reach their commanding officers in Manila.
London. Both houses of the British Parliament were summoned late tonight to meet an emergency session at 3 p.m. Monday.
The Navy has just announced that a squadron of Japanese planes is bombing the strategic island of Guam.
And from Singapore come reports the Japanese planes are over British Burma.
President Roosevelt has called a special session of the cabinet at 8:30 tonight. 30 minutes later, the meeting will be joined by the congressional leaders of both parties.
The White House also announced that an army transport carrying lumber has been sunk between San Francisco and Hawaii.
Washington and the rest of the United States will go on a war footing tomorrow. Secretaries of War and Navy Stimson and Knox have ordered all officers to appear in uniform.
Now here is the background behind these world-beating events which took the American public completely by surprise and which followed the most extreme and patient efforts on the part of President Roosevelt to placate Japan. We can reveal that according to naval experts, it required approximately 2 weeks for Japan to send her submarines beyond Hawaii to the spot in the Pacific where the U.S. Army transport was sunk. During those 2 weeks, Japanese envoys in Washington had been engaged in diplomatic conversations, earnestly professing that Japan wanted to follow the road of peace. In other words, while the United States was sincerely trying to find a formula for peace, the Japanese military, aping the double cross of Hitler, was assiduously preparing for a surprise attack.
In fact, no later than Friday, just 2 days ago, the Japanese envoys delivered a note to Secretary Hull categorically denying Japanese aggression in the South Pacific and saying that reports regarding the concentration of troops in that area were highly exaggerated. But at that very time, Japanese submarines already were around Hawaii, and Japanese plane carriers were almost in a position to make their attack.
This is why Secretary Hull told the Japanese ambassador when he called this afternoon to get a reply to the latest State Department of Communication, "In my 50 years of public service, I have never seen a document that was more crowded with infamous falsehoods and distortions, all on a scale so huge that I never imagined until today that any government on this planet was capable of uttering them."
Now, these negotiations followed months of appeasement efforts by the State Department, during which we permitted the Japanese to buy oil, scrap iron, and other raw materials, and went to the most extreme lengths in order not to offend Japan. In fact, we followed a policy in regard to Japan almost identical with that which the America First Group has urged upon Mr. Roosevelt in regard to all the dictators.
Japanese bombardment also came 12 hours after President Roosevelt, in an effort at peaceful negotiation, had sent a personal message to the Emperor of Japan himself.
Now, behind this amazing attack, in the middle of peaceful negotiations, were two points of Japanese strategy. One is the fact that Japan today is ruled by an irresponsible military clique, which is answerable to the authority of no one, including even the emperor. Repeatedly, the Japanese government has been unable to control this clique.
Second, the Japanese undoubtedly were following the strategy of diverting American attention away from Thailand, Singapore, and the Dutch East Indies. They wanted to scare the American public and the American Navy in regard to the ships tied up in the Middle Pacific, and so that the Navy would not be able to concentrate around the South Pacific, where the real Japanese attack is sure to come.
Our experts also believe that the timing of the Japanese attack was worked out very carefully with Hitler. For more than anyone realizes, the dictators of the Far East and Europe are working very closely together. For instance, the Russian troops which have driven back the Nazis in the Caucasus are partly Siberian reinforcements. Therefore, if Japan can menace Siberia, Hitler will face less reinforcements in Russia.
Another development is that the British suddenly have discovered that certain French submarines are missing from the Mediterranean, and they fear that Admiral Darlan, who hates the British, has sent his submarines to aid the Japanese.
Another development is that the Japanese picked this particular moment for their attack on us when Hitler was concentrating his heaviest reinforcements against Moscow. The present showdown with Japan actually is an indirect showdown between the United States and Hitler.
So today, Hitler is staking everything on the capture of Moscow. The great preponderance of his troops are concentrated there. And although it isn't emphasized in the censored dispatches, very slowly Nazi forces have inched ahead and Moscow is in serious danger. However, one great factor, in addition to Russian bravery, is fighting on their side, namely the weather. Just before Christmas, the snow around Moscow becomes so deep that no army can advance. So for Hitler, it is a question of taking Moscow before Christmas or else digging in until the Russian winter is over.
And that is why the Far East, the British campaign in North Africa, and even our own war with Japan depends so vitally upon the fighting resistance of the Red Army to hold out until Christmas. For if Moscow is taken, Hitler will be free to send his troops into Turkey, Libya, the Caucasus, and even French West Africa, the jumping off point to South America. Then we would be faced with war on two fronts.
And now in just a minute, we'll be back with our predictions and bulletins of things to come.
Recruits in Uncle Sam's new army today are being taught not only to follow orders, but to understand the reasons why they are given. And if you like to know the reasons for things yourself, here's one you surely ought to have, particularly if you're 35, 40 or over. The reason so many folks your age needlessly put up with common sluggishness is that they really require a different kind of laxative help. And that's why so many are changing today to that remarkable all-vegetable preparation called Seratan, which provides the special kind of aid people over 35 are so very apt to need. Yes, and that's why you ought to try Seratan yourself. Just see if you don't find it wonderfully effective, yet exceptionally mild and gentle. Completely different from anything you've ever tried before. And remember this important fact. Seratan is not a pill, not salts, not an oil or liquid, but a pleasant blend of purely vegetable ingredients which you take plain or with your food. You'll say there's nothing like it. So tonight or tomorrow, ask your druggist for Seratan. S-E-R-U-T-A-N. When you read that name backwards, it spells Nature's. And now we return you to Washington, D.C., where Drew Pearson and Robert S. Allen are ready with tonight's edition of their exclusive feature, Predictions of Things to Come.
Well, after our broadcast, Mrs. Roosevelt has a special broadcast on Japan.
Flash from Tokyo. Japan has declared war on Great Britain.
Flash from the Canal Zone. A blackout has been ordered for Panama and the whole Canal Zone. It goes into effect tonight. And here is the isolationists' reaction to war from Denver. U.S. Senator Burton K. Wheeler, leader of the isolationist ranks, today declared that Congress must declare war on Japan immediately.
And here is U.S. Labor's answer to the Japanese attack. Wheeling, West Virginia, an independent welders union, announces that it is ending its strike at a $40 million ordnance plant.
Now, here is our first prediction. Tonight, President Roosevelt invoked the Military Secrets Act. And so here is prediction on the problem that the Japanese attack has made even more pressing, the question of naval censorship and naval relations with the press. Secretary of the Navy Knox, although a newspaper man, has had more trouble with the press than any other member of the cabinet. So here's my prediction. I predict that next week, Secretary Knox will appoint as his press relations chief Mr. Paul Smith, editor of the San Francisco Chronicle and one of the most progressive young newspaper men in the country.
Now, here's our last prediction. On October 5th, we predicted that a nation which lives on its face cannot about face, and that before the year was up, the United States would be involved in war with Japan. That prediction today was fulfilled. So I predict that tomorrow, the Congress of the United States, after very little debate, will pass a formal declaration of war against Japan.
I also predict that almost simultaneously, the government of Great Britain will also declare war and become a full ally of the United States.
Finally, I predict that the events of today and tomorrow will be followed by an American declaration of war on the German government of Adolf Hitler.
And now as we close, ladies and gentlemen, the tragic events which have occurred today in the Pacific show only one thing, the passionate desire of the American people and the American government for peace. But all our history shows that although we are slow to go to war, the United States has never lost a war. So speaking for all of us, the American people, gosh, Japan, the Japanese aircraft carrier, has just been sunk, reportedly off Panama from a...
Hold on, pal. That's
from a Latin American port. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we predict that the American people, soldiers, sailors, and defense workers, 130 million strong, will keep them rolling, keep them flying, keep democracy from dying.
Drew Pearson and Robert S. Allen return with more exclusive views and authoritative predictions next Sunday at this same time. Remember to tune in. And remember this, too. If you're 35, 40, or over and are using laxatives of any kind, try changing to Seratan. This is Jay Sims reminding you, when you read Seratan backwards, it spells Nature's.
The material used on these broadcasts is copyrighted by Drew Pearson and Robert S. Allen. This is the National Broadcasting Company.